Amendment number 5, by Gall, page 13, line 7, change shall to may.
Mr. Speaker.
President Gall.
Move the amendment and ask unanimous consent. Well, looks like we've got a good one here. Just very briefly, the department of, or representatives of the Department of Fish and Game have suggested to me very strongly that they're concerned that some of the set net leases and other similar leases might be used in this section to force a preference to 5 acres, and they would like to see that some flexibility be left the department. I would call your attention to the previous page, page 12 of the bill, line 6, where it begins and then continues down the page, and we find that the word may on line 7 is used throughout this section, and I believe the amendment would just take section F and put it into harmony with the rest of the section.
Representative Herbert.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. There's enough mays in this section to suit me. If you look on line line 21, there's a may. The director may condition the purchase of this lease. Then you look on line 23, the director may reject the application. So there's plenty of mays to handle this bill. I oppose this amendment.
Are you ready for the question? Question is, shall the House adopt Amendment number 5 to the House Resources Second Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 375? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk, may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their vote? Clerk, may take the roll.
18 yeas, 21 nays.
House has failed to adopt Amendment number 5. Does the clerk have further amendments?
Yes, Mr. Speaker. Amendment number 6 by Wente, Bettesworth, and Ringstead, and it has been duplicated and placed on each member's desk.
Representative Wente?
Mr. Speaker, I'd move and ask unanimous consent for the adoption of Amendment number 6.
There is objection.
Mr. Speaker, we did address this issue considerably earlier today. Essentially, this amendment is similar to Amendment number 2, except it does give the department authority rather than a legislative mandate to make the extension for home site entry permits, the difference being may rather than shall, and would deal with give them the authority in the situation where there is a question whether the individual subdivision were not developed as a fault of those having the permits, compared to the questions that were raised, whether that's the same situation in every area of the state. Give the department the discretion.
Are you ready for the question? Question is, shall the House adopt Amendment number 6 to the House Resources Second Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 375? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk, may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their vote? Clerk, may take the roll.
22 yeas, 18 nays.
House has adopted Amendment number 6. Does the clerk have further amendments?
No, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Barnes?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Move and ask unanimous consent that House Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 375, Second Resources, be considered engrossed, advanced third reading, placed on final passage.
Is there objection? Are you ready for the question? House, please stand at ease. direct order. Off.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'm going to remove my objection at this time.
Is there further objection to the motion to move from second to third reading and place on final passage? Representative Davis?
Yes. Can we have a brief, please?
House, please stand at ease. Is the objection maintained to the motion to advance the bill from second to third reading and place on final passage? Hearing none, will the clerk please read the bill for the third time?
House Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 375, Second Resources Amended House by the Resources Committee. An act relating to land disposal and management and providing for an effective date.
Are you ready for the question? Question is... Shall the House Resources, Second Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 375, amended House, pass the House, members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk, may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their vote? Clerk, may take the roll.
34 yeas, 2 nays.
The House Resources, Second Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 375 has passed the House. Representative Barnes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Amendment ask unanimous consent to roll call vote on passage of House Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 375 amended Second Resources be considered the roll call vote on the several effective date clauses.
Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered. Will the clerk please read the next item on today's calendar?
Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 461, Resources by the Resources Committee. An act relating to the management and use of water in mining and providing for an effective date. The Committee on Resources has had the bill under consideration and recommends it be replaced with House Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 461, Resources with the same title. Reports it back as follows and attaches two new fiscal notes. The report was signed by Mr. Ringstead, co-chairman, signing Dupass, Schultz, and Ringstead. Having no recommendation, Cowdery and Larson, Liska and Euling. Bussell signed, bill needs additional work, and Gall signed, do not pass. The House Special Committee on State Loans has had the bill under consideration and recommends it be replaced with House Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 461 loans with the same title and recommends it do pass and attaches a new fiscal note. The report was signed by Mr. Euling. I can't read that. All right, Euling, chairman, and concurring, Furness, Pestinger, Euling, and Kopanen. Wente has no recommendation. The Committee on Finance has had the bill under consideration and recommends it be replaced with House Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 461 loans with the same title, reports it back as follows and attaches a new fiscal note. The report was signed by Mr. Adams, chairman, signing Dupass, Bettesworth, Hurlburt, and Fritz. Signing no recommendation, Adams, Martin, Grusendorf, Duncan, and Jarre. Lindauer signed do not pass. I have two committee substitutes on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Barnes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Move and ask unanimous consent that Loans Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 461 be adopted in lieu of the original bill.
Is there objection? Hearing none, the House Loans Committee Substitute is adopted in lieu of the original bill. Does the clerk have amendments?
No, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Bettesworth?
We have a brief at ease, please, Mr. Speaker.
Will the House please stand at ease briefly? Does the clerk have amendments?
No, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Barnes?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Move and ask unanimous consent to the House Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 461 loans be considered engrossed, passed to third reading, placed on final passage.
Objection? Hearing none, so ordered. Will the clerk please read the bill for the third time?
House Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 461, Loans by the House Special Committee on State Loans, Enact Relating to the Management and Use of Water in Mining and Providing for an Effective Date.
Are you ready for the question? Representative Lindar?
Mr. Speaker, I'd like to debate the bill, please. Mr. Speaker, this bill, I think, originally dropped off of, this material here may have dropped off of 407. And what this does, if I understand it correctly, is it provides a grant of $100,000 to each placer miner in the state, to a maximum of $100,000 for each.
Point of order, sir.
State your point.
Mr. Speaker, I think the gentleman is talking about an amendment that hasn't been moved or presented to us.
That's correct. We are, the bill is before us in third reading, unamended.
And we're talking about 461.
Right. Okay. As I understood it, you wanted to debate the bill, right?
Let's debate the bill.
Yes. You have the floor.
But you want the amendment.
This bill is another one of our placer mining friendship bills. It provides a grant of up to $100,000 for every miner. And I would declare, Mr. Chairman, Mr. Speaker, that if this bill passes, it is certainly my intent to find a couple of placer mines and apply for $100,000 grants for each of them. And I understand that the representative from the Hillside has that in mind, so there'll be a few more placer miners. It really is trying to grant special privileges to a very small group of people in the state. If we're going to give $100,000 to everybody who's got a business, I think we ought to give $100,000 to everybody who's got a business and not try to single out any one particular group as opposed to another group. This thing did drop off of, appears to have dropped off of 407 originally, and I would urge all the members to vote down the droppings.
Representative Ringstead?
Well, apparently some people can't figure out what a dropping is when they see one. This isn't one. This bill came right alongside of 407 and possibly even ahead of it. What we're trying to do here is find a way, or maybe ways, I guess, to get new technology to develop a better way of mining. Right now, our mining industry has some serious problems. They're trying to do everything they can to keep from being shut down and eliminating the industry. And what we're trying to do here is provide some money for new technology, new ways of becoming more efficient and operating a better mine, to try and continue to develop our mining industry rather than trying to kill it. Request support for the bill.
Representative Martin.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Speaker. I believe in mining in this state, and in 1912, Congress chose to develop the University of Alaska as a mining and agriculture college. And since that day, we've really done very little within the university system to help develop a good mining school. And we're all envious of the Colorado School of Mining, and there's no reason we cannot have something like that in Fairbanks campus, the Fairbanks School of Mining. It seems to me that our money would be much better appropriated and used if we allowed these grants or outright appropriations to the University of Alaska Fairbanks to develop ways in which they can do placer mining better without misuse of the water. These individual grants, I hate to say it, but to me it's just a pure subsidy that someone says, well, I'm going to buy a better hose or a longer hose, or I'm going to direct the water someplace else. Reminds me of the millions and millions of dollars we went through for so-called alternative energy programs that a lot of people lived off of in 79, 80, and 81, until we suddenly realized, hey, man, we're just wasting an awful lot of money and people reinventing the wheel that's already been discussed. I'd much rather these monies that are being made available go to UAF and have a established research program on mining.
Representative Fuller.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. In answer to the Midtown representative, if he reads the bill, there's three steps in there. Everybody that's a placer miner is not going to get a grant. I mean, first of all, you've got to have a proven history. You've got to have the capability to produce a verifiable result. And you've also got to have the capability to carry this experiment out. And I think he should study the
building. Representative Fritz.
Speaker. All good ideas, contrary to some people's belief, don't come from the halls of academe. The practical miner out in the field often has good ideas, but because he does not have a college degree, they think, well, it can't possibly have merit. I think this bill gives those people a chance to improve their means of livelihood and improve the mining industry, and I heartily support it. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Yearling.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Maybe I'll just give a little bit of a history of exactly how this bill did come to my committee. Just a week or so ago, we got the bill into our committee, and before it came to our committee, it was in, I felt, very bad shape. It set up two new, brand new loan programs, of which we took those two new loan programs out and made it a grant program. As you're probably aware, we have something like 35 loan programs in the state right now. We didn't want to increase that to 37. But I think that I fully support the compromise that came out. It is a grant program. If we're going to put the money out there, let's put it out as a grant. Let's not put it under a loan program that looks like a grant program, because they never repay the balance of the interest or the principal. So I think it's a good compromise, and everybody that I've talked to certainly is in support of it, at least from our loans committee. I think we had four due passes on it.
Representative Miller.
Just an inquiry, Mr. Speaker. How much money is budgeted this year to fund this program, could I ask?
Representative Yearling.
The fiscal note that was put on, I believe, up in finance was $77,900 to the Department of Environmental Conservation for operating expenses, and also $22,000 through DNR. Two fiscal notes.
Representative Kovanen.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I also rise to support this program. It has been suggested that we use the university, but as people are aware, the research portion of the operating budget of the university has been the most severely looked at, you might say, and cut through the years. It needs consistency of operation if we're going to have it. But there have been good programs, some of which were successful, and others which were partially successful. The flocation process, for example, was attempted and tested out and found to be helpful but not the solution to settling all of the solids out. We also had a program researching arsenopyrates in water, which was developed under the former Council on Science and Technology, and which work we hope will be carried on by the Federal Arctic Science Program. I'm only sorry that we don't have the counterpart before us. The argument being, therefore, that we not only should rely not on people in the field, the inventive Alaskan who tries anything and everything, but also that we do not really have the other tools. We don't have a Council on Science and Technology. We don't have a natural sciences building with programs going on there. We have a severely cut back research program. The money is available, and as has been pointed on this floor, the ingenuity of Alaskan miners and of Alaskans generally is noted, and I feel confident that the money will be well spent. It will be given to people with a history in this state. That's what it says in the legislation. People who are familiar with the problems of the particular soil type, the permanently frozen ground, the problems of the kinds of rivers, the turbidity that we deal with here. We're not urging new people into the field. I'm sure the gentleman from Anchorage who intends to come in has the intellectual capacity to develop some of the solutions here. However, under the statutes, I regret to say he's not eligible for the $100,000 unless next year we change it. I've also pointed out that because of this way the program is written, any information that is available, any patents are available, become public knowledge, so that rather than becoming a secret process developed by some large corporation outside, those processes that which work will become the common knowledge of all Alaskans who are interested in placer mining. And therefore, we can anticipate that there would be a much more rapid adoption of whatever technologies are developed than we would have if we were to allow some large-scale corporation to develop it outside and then to license it, because the poor plaster miner pays enough things without paying a licensure fee on some of these things. At this point, we cannot anticipate whether it's going to be a success or a failure. If it turns out not to succeed, at least we will have made a decent effort, and we can then close down the grant program. But I think at this point, we have, 400 plaster miners. How many of them? Maybe 100 or so will actually go and make the attempt to develop something, to I don't know how many of the grants will be given, but we will be bringing the combined experience of all of these people into the field, and I think getting as good a return on the money in which we invest in this way as we can on the balance of the many of the programs that we have. Thank you.
Representative Lindar?
Mr. Speaker, I would like to rise and debate some of the facts that were presented by one of the previous speakers. It's absolutely true that we have a very small amount of money for administrative expenses attached to this bill. What was carefully left out is that there are some millions of dollars appropriated in another bill. I believe it's now only $3 million. It started out at $20 million. Mr. Speaker, when you have 400 people engaged in plaster mining and you try to appropriate $20 million, that's $50,000 a person, $50,000 a miner. Or if half of them apply, that's 100,000. The purpose of this has nothing to do with development of new technology. It is to provide a direct subsidy to the handful of individuals who are in this field. And even at $3 million with only 400 people, that means that those people who apply have an excellent chance of getting a grant. Almost everybody, I would assume, would apply. And what we will be doing is turning people who are, in many ways, symbolize the very best of Alaska, just as in other states, farmers represent in many ways the best of traditions in the little states, that within Alaska we're turning these people from mining for gold for mining the state budget for a living. And this is not a good way to go.
Representative Gall.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. It's hard to argue with the points made by the previous speaker if one looks at some of the language. I guess what disturbs me a little about the bill is it seems to me that, let us say we're trying to safeguard the water quality of the state, and we have some very stringent regulations, and maybe the state would wish to provide some funds to help people accommodate themselves to those regulations. To me, that would be a subsidy responding to the public interest. But to give grants of $100,000 to allow somebody to buy equipment which would increase his gold recovery is to subsidize an individual who is buying equipment that will increase his profit. And I just don't understand what role the state has in doing something of that sort. But I guess that is the intent of the bill, and therefore it's difficult for me to see where its general public interest is going to be. Thank you.
Representative Ringstad.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I realize that it's things are kind of hectic, and we've got a lot of bills going by here that we've got to try and keep up with. But if we're going to rag these around, we ought to at least try and get our facts straight. The question was asked about the money and the amount of money in this. The Loans Committee Chairman was accurate in his fiscal notes in the amount of money that is referred to by the gentleman to my left was the money for the grants themselves as opposed to the administration of them. There is $3 million in for that. The other fact that you're trying to get mixed up here a little bit is that we have 800 plaster miners and mines, not 400. You know, if you can keep twisting numbers around, screwing up your ratios, but what we're trying to do is solve some of our mining and clean water problems.
Representative Miller.
Well, Speaker, I just have another question. When we talk about the Innovative Pollution Control Demonstration Program, for instance, in the description of what that program has, it says the Commissioner of Environmental Conservation may give grants under this to a person that has, and then there's three criteria, a proven history, the capability to produce verifiable results, and the capacity to study and test innovative techniques. Now, is that all that it takes to to qualify for one of these grants, or does the person have to come before the committee and tell them what their innovative pollution control demonstration is going to do, and then have the committee decide whether or not it's practical and the money should be given? I don't really see any place in here where anybody ever evaluates the demonstration that each particular miner might have, but maybe I'm missing the point. Maybe somebody could explain how that's going to happen.
Representative Ringstad.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The section about the responsibilities of the review committee shall review each application for a grant. The committee is set up of knowledgeable people, Commissioner DNR, Commissioner DEC, Dean of School of Mineral Industries, two placer miners, and one more public member. Their job is to review these things to make sure that they're viable alternatives, and they make the recommendation, and the commissioners, through the departments, administratively handle the operation.
Representative Fritz.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I think I have an additional point that might get people to vote in favor of this. We constantly, in this body, speak about the declining oil revenues. Therefore, one thing that would be positive, in my view, is doing everything that we legally and sensibly can to encourage the development of new industries. Mining is hardly a new industry, but it is a beleaguered industry. I believe this measure will allow people with good ideas or ideas that would appeal to a supervisory board to work out their plan and see if we cannot do the mining and at the same time not violate the environment. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Gall.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. One shortcoming in the bill, though, that was brought up by the minority leader and was not addressed by the resources chairman. Clearly, there should be some intent here that this work to the public good, to the general good, to the public interest. And my understanding would be that having tested these innovative pieces of equipment, whatever they may be, that technology would then become somehow available for the public use, and that technology would reach the public, but I see nothing in the bill to do that. On the contrary, with regard to the remarks of the previous speaker, I think it will probably be the hard rock mining industry rather than the placer miners who may have a substantive impact on state revenues. And although I wish that argument were correct, I don't think it stands up if you look at the economics involved.
Representative Abood.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to ask a question from somebody who made up this bill. Seems like that if I were a miner and I wanted to engage in placer mining to study and test the new methods of gold recovery and water use reduction, and I could qualify because I was a miner for 100 thou, and then I wanted also to test and study innovative and economically viable mining techniques for waste disposal and pollution control in placer mining, I could get up to 200,000 then. And I think if I look in here, I can get another 100,000 for doing something else. Is that correct? Is that correct? Because in the bill, it so states that you can go to the Department of Natural Resources, Commissioner, you can get up to 100 grand for one study, then go over to DEC and get another one for another 100,000. Is that what this bill says? I'd like to ask the sponsor to explain that to me, please, or the chairman of the Resources Committee.
Representative Szymanski.
Well, I'm not too sure whether or not he's entirely correct, but I think he may be. But if he also applied for an urban renewal grant for Spinard, he'd probably get a fourth grant, and they'd have the complete project, because I think that he's touched on some of the holes that are in that legislation, some of the problems associated with it, and the reason it's many people consider it a windfall for many of those people who may be wanting to apply for those grants under it. It's a real gaping hole in it. Thank you.
President Ringstad.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. For the gentleman from Spinard, I think you're misreading that. That's not the intent, that you keep going back and getting more.
Representative Abood.
Yes, I don't want to belabor this, but if the gentleman with the beard will kindly look on page 2, Line 23, the Commissioner of Natural Resources may make a grant under this section, being 4616070, for to test new methods of gold recovery and watery and water use reduction. Then if he'll look over on page 3, under line 19, the Commissioner of Environmental Conservation may not make a grant in excess of $100,000, or he can up to. And that, then, is for techniques for waste disposal and pollution control in placer mining. So it looks like to me, if the wording is proper, that I could get up to $200,000 per person times 800 or whatever you wish. Not that I'm against the bill, don't misunderstand me. I just say I think we've got something here that I'm not sure that we fully understand.
Representative Kopanen.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to review some portions of the bill. It may be, perhaps under some, you know, great effort that the person could receive two grants, but they would have to be able to demonstrate that they could serve both purposes and that they are two separate and distinct grants. I do not see that they could receive the same, because you have a single review committee. A single review committee consisting, as the Representative from Fairbanks has said, of the Commissioner of Natural Resources, Commissioner of Environmental Conservation, the Dean of the School of Mineral Industry, two placer miners appointed by the governor, and one public member. The committee, of course, will establish procedures. In other words, God save the mark, regulations, but we do need regulations once in a while, say how the grants are going to be made, how the application is going to be made, set up a uniform set of procedures. If we were to do that here on the floor, we would have a bill that we could drop on our big toe and break our big toe. We don't want to do that. We do give some leeway to agencies to draw up regulations, however much we complain about them. However, when the grants are received under Section B, Part B, they will review each application for the grant, and they will make a recommendation. In other words, they will be looking at the grants and weighing them one against the other. Obviously, given limited resources, they will not be giving out every grant. They will be making those which will be to the benefit of the state. I don't think that they would wish to look foolish, but will actually make recommendations based on the feasibility of the proposal and the possibility that that particular proposal will work. And it may be a proposal for an innovative gold recovery demonstration. One of the reasons for gold, for placer mining, is that gold is a product that has a continuous market. Unlike some of the other hard rock minerals that we've talked about, which we have been waiting for 20 or 30 years for the market to come up to the point that it will be profitable to mine them and to sell them. Gold has always been profitable to sell. You can always find a market for that. Therefore, at least the immediate impact of this is a positive impact on the economy of the state. Likewise, the innovative pollution control demonstration is one that we absolutely have to have if we are going to deal with the problem of water quality in the rivers of this state. And who are we going to leave it to? We're going to have to give an incentive. This is a subsidy, but it is a specific and directed subsidy. It's not a general subsidy. We're not throwing money out of an airplane window. We're giving it to people who have a real interest in coming up with a solution to the problem. And I have confidence that at least one of our local Rube Goldbergs will come up with something that works. I hope so. At any rate, the information then will be distributed. The information will be made public information, and the Commissioner of Natural Resources and the Commissioner of Environmental Conservation will compile, analyze, and distribute the information for the benefit of the placer mining industry. In other words, it will become generally known and generally applicable and used by others. I think each one of the questions that has been raised can be understood by a careful reading of the legislation as it came out of the Loans Committee. Thank you.
Representative Abood, you're out of order.
Not according to the rules, sir. I can ask the gentleman to yield.
You're out of order. Would you wish the floor?
I wish the floor, sir. It's unfortunate we had to listen to that sermon, and it said nothing, and it missed the point. Again, if I'm a miner, and I wish to study and test new methods of gold recovery and water use reduction on my mine sitting out there in the boonies, I can get a $100,000 loan. Now, in addition to that, once I get that recovery and new methods of gold recovery, I've got to, according to this bill, if I feel like it, go over and say, now I got to get rid of this waste disposal that I've created by my new method. And also, there's some pollution control here that I've got to look at. So I need another $100,000. That's precisely what this bill says.
Representative Ringstead?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Let me try and clarify this a little bit. I stated earlier that the intent wasn't to get people going and getting $200,000 grants. The representative from Spinard's point on the ability to go in and get one program or the other. If I remember correctly, an awful lot of our major inventions through history, you can go back and find some of those inventors, and the same person has made several major inventions. And if one person is capable of solving our first problem, I'm more than willing to let him take a shot at solving our second problem.
Representative Malone.
Yeah. Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Speaker, I think some people don't understand what this bill is, and it's basically a grant program, and I don't know if there is, if it's still in the form of a loan program. I'm misreading it, but so it's not a, there's no chance of people getting two loans underneath this bill. They might get two grants, but they're not going to get two loans. I think that's right. But one of the prior speakers said that this isn't throwing money out of an airplane, and I'm not sure I wouldn't rather do that.
Representative Ewling?
Mr. Speaker, it sounded like that might have been a question that was directed at me. First of all, there was never anything in there having to do with loans. The title of the bill never had any kind of a loan program in it, even though it included two loan programs. And when it came to our committee, we took those loan programs out. It is simply a grant program. It's my understanding that they can go under 461680 for a $100,000 grant, or they can go under 461670, or both.
Senator Martin?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I must express some kind of a surprise at some of our good conservative people that believe in free enterprise and conservation and, believe in taking your own risk at your own expense and receiving the profit thereof. But it seems like this way here, we want $100,000 to discover something, to discover an invention like Alexander Graham Bell did, and he profited under that, and other people built a better mousetrap at no cost to the government, and they made profit out of that. And in this case here, if we're going to be the bankers, the loaners, to these new ideas to help these average citizens to invent new things, and I'm like the good doctor from the Kenai Peninsula, believing that these people work the ground day in and day out. They know little things, little techniques that will help them to produce better, to get more efficient. And every day they're doing little things to make the business more efficient and perhaps profitable. In this case here, I don't know why or how the extra $100,000 in either category, especially in the invention category, is going to hop out. And again, I must remind the people, and it was the Fairbanks legislators, maybe there's a different thing that goes on up in Fairbanks. Every two or three years, they find a new imaginative way of getting money because we're going to invent this, we're going to invent that. And I don't see what's coming out of that. And this science technology program they started in 79, all kinds of energy, and they found the guy that found a perfect heater, and then someone in Fairbanks went down to the local maintenance shop or the hardware shop and found the same thing after the guy spent $200,000 with state monies inventing it. This is the same thing here. If we're going to give these monies, I wonder if there could be a little incentive for the state. How can we share in the profit? Gold is as valuable to the state as our natural resource, and all people should share in it. Now, I don't mind a person going out and risking themselves and their life and whatever they want to do to find gold and sell it accordingly as it's been done. But once they want our money to help them, just like with the oil, I think that we should share, and that maybe the gold should be reverted back to the government. And that way we can keep our programs going up. You know, we talk about oil going down, and what are we going to do after oil? Well, maybe gold is the answer. There should be some incentive here to help the state out if the individual needs the incentive.
Representative Davis.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Speaker. I appreciate all the interest in the district that I represent on this this issue. One answer to the Midtown representative, if we can, the state can assist in clean water, I think it's not only going to benefit the mining community, but it's going to be a benefit to the entire state. I support the legislation.
Representative Ringstad.
Mr. Speaker, I call the House.
Call has been placed on the House. Representative Tischer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Something interesting just crossed my mind that perhaps will alleviate some of the anxieties and the distress on the bill itself. And that deals with the last section of the bill on page 4, and that deals with patents. Now, if I'm a miner, and I've had some experience in mining, obviously I want to be proficient, efficient, and so forth, and if there are laws already in the books, Mr. Speaker, that require me to do thus and so to keep the water pure and to keep the floribunda in place and so forth, but I've got this great idea that I think will work. I'll probably do that while I am mining. But the incentive here, I think, is this, that is not to apply for the loan. Let me just put it from a different perspective. Because if I got this idea, and I think I can get it patented, I can receive patent royalties for my idea. I'll bet you my bottom dollar, I'm not going to go to the state and say, borrow me some money. I'm going to go to the bank, probably, and borrow the money so I can keep the patent rights to my idea and sell them. Now, I think that's a heck of a lot better incentive than if somebody discovers something under the guise of the loan program or the grant program and then has to give up the right of that idea or system of things, perhaps, to the state, because the state then will grab onto the idea, patent it, and although they aren't going to gain anything financial by that, it will be shared by others where, you know, all that work has gone down the tube just for a little money. I think I'd rather go to the bank, borrow the money, put my idea to work, develop it, and patent the idea, and then I can sell that. Maybe I'll run out of gold and I can sell my patent rights later. So I think probably those anxieties will be calmed a little bit by that, don't you think? Thank you.
Representative Gall?
Yes, I do. I think there's nothing like the free market. There's nothing like capitalism. And there's a certain responsibility on the part of us conservatives to protect that. And I say that very sincerely, and also would support the remarks of the gentleman in front of me. What goes around comes around, and if we just keep pumping money in, the time is going to come when we're going to have to take it out. Specifically, though, I'd like to just comment briefly on what the previous speaker said on page 4. The state shall license without cost to a person engaged in placer mining in the state the right to use in the state a patented process that was developed as a result of a grant under this chapter. I sincerely question whether or not the state, under the Constitution of either, well, specifically of the United States, has the opportunity to selectively determine who should get free use of its patent based upon whether or not they're state residents. Patents are federal, not state. And I don't believe that the state can set up a differential cost structure for residents versus non-residents on a patent.
Representative Kopanen.
Thank you. Just in response to the last point, such patents would be federal patents, but they would be handled as public property by the state. This has been the case in a number of points before. There are also patents held by the federal government that have been gained under such programs and become public use. For instance, some of the antibiotics and other things, a great many of these things. And they are very much a part of modern times.
Representative Gall.
Public use is one thing, but public use in the state and non-public use out of the state is another issue.
Are you ready for the question? The call has been satisfied. Question is, shall the House Loans Committee substitute for committee substitute for Senate Bill 461 pass the House? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their vote? Representative Malone?
From yes to no.
Malone from yes to no. Representative Flood?
Yes to no.
Flood from yes to no.
Yes to no.
Martin or Miller from yes to no. Clerk may take the roll.
26 yeas, 14 nays.
The House Loans Committee substitute for committee substitute for Senate Bill 461 has passed the House. Representative Barnes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Like in 27 votes, I move the effective date clause.
Are you ready for the question? Question is, shall the House adopt the effective date clause for the House Loans Committee substitute for Senate Bill 461? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their vote? Clerk may take the roll.
38 yeas, 2 nays.
Effective date clause has been adopted. Representative Szymanski.
I'd like to serve notice of reconsideration of my vote on Committee Substitute Senate Bill 461.
Representative Szymanski has served notice of reconsideration for his vote on Senate Bill 461. We have received several messages from the other body. Representative Barnes, if you would move that we go back up the daily order of business to receive messages from the Senate, and then we also have a report of a special committee, which is a conference committee, to read across.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Move and ask unanimous consent. We move back up the daily order of business to messages from the other body.
Without objection, will the clerk please read any messages from the other body?
Mr. Speaker, the Senate has passed committee substitute for sponsor substitute for House Bill 404, Judiciary, amended with the following amendment. Senate committee substitute for committee substitute for sponsor substitute for House Bill 404, Resources, Fish, Game, and Other Animals, effective date with a Senate letter of intent, and it is returned for consideration. The Senate rescinded its action in failing to adopt the House amendment to committee substitute for Senate Bill 431, Hess. The Senate passed House committee substitute for committee substitute for Senate Bill 431, Finance, Purchase of Residential Child Care Services, effective date, and the conference committee is automatically discharged. The Senate has passed the following, and it is transmitted for consideration. Committee substitute for Senate Bill 409, Rules amended, an act making miscellaneous appropriations and transfers among appropriations, and amending the lapse dates or purposes of certain appropriations and providing for an effective date. Under Rule 43B of the Uniform Rules, engrossment of the above bill has been waived, and the certified amendment is attached.
The Rules Committee substitute for Senate Bill 409, amended, is referred to the Finance Committee.
I have no further messages from the Senate, Mr. Speaker.
President Barnes, if you would move that we
Mr. Speaker, move. I move and ask unanimous consent. We move down the daily order of business to reports from special committees.
Without objection, will the clerk please read any messages of special reports of special committees?
The conference committee, which has had committee substitute for House Bill 707, Finance, amended, an act relating to lobbying effective date, and Senate committee substitute for committee substitute for House Bill 707, Finance, amended, Senate, with the same title, under consideration, recommends that the conference committee substitute for House Bill 707 be adopted. The report was signed by the Senate members, Fahrenkamp Chairman, Paul Fisher, and Fakes, by the House members, Bettesworth Chairman, Furness, and Kopanen. I have no further special committee reports, Mr. Speaker.
Brings us back to consideration of the daily calendar. Will the clerk please read the next item on today's calendar? Representative Winty.
Chairman, at ease, please.
House, please stand at ease. please read the next item on today's calendar?
Committee substitute for Senate Bill 549, Rules by the Rules Committee, enacting to games of chance and contests of skill and providing for an effective date. The Committee on State Affairs has had the bill under consideration and reports it back without recommendation. The report was signed by Mr. Abood, Chairman, signing Dupas, Abood, and Locker. Having no recommendation, Cowdery, M.M. Miller, Ward, and Larson. The Committee on Finance has had the bill under consideration and reports it back without recommendation. The report was signed by Mr. Adams, Chairman, signing Dupas, Adams, Grusendorf, and Martin. Signing no recommendation, Furness, Jaroff, Fritz, and Duncan. I have no amendments on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Barnes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Move and ask unanimous consent of the committee to substitute for Senate Bill 549 rules to be considered engrossed. Advance to third reading, placed on final pass.
Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered. Will the clerk please read the bill for the third time?
Committee substitute for Senate Bill 549 rules by the Rules Committee, enacting to games of chance and contests of skill and providing for an effective date.
Are you ready for the question? Question is, shall the Rules Committee substitute for Senate Bill 549 pass the House? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their vote? Clerk may take the roll.
36 yeas, 1 nay.
The Rules Committee substitute for Senate Bill 549 has passed the House. Representative Barnes.
Mr. Speaker, unanimous consent to roll call. Vote on passage. Committee substitute for Senate Bill 549 rules be considered the roll call. Vote on the effective date clause.
Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered. Will the clerk please read the next item on today's calendar?
Senate Concurrent Resolution Number 47 by the Rules Committee, relating to new minimum requirements for graduation from a public high school. The Committee on HESS has had Senate Concurrent Resolution 47 under consideration and reports it back as follows. The report was signed by Ms. Tischer, Chairman, signing Dupas, Euling, Kopanen, and Pestinger. Signing no recommendation, Tischer, Martin, and Davis. I have no amendments on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Are you ready for the question? Question, Representative Miller.
I sure don't want to spend much time on this. I don't think anybody else does either. But if the board, being the Board of Education, has recognized that in some cases the requirements cannot be met and the board has established a formal waiver process, which is one of our whereases, why are we asking that the whole thing be delayed for a year? Is the waiver process not working? Is that right? Or we just think it might be too much trouble to go through?
Representative Tischer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I think that is a valid question to ask about this piece of legislation. In our deliberations, we found that the most obnoxious part of the new minimum requirements was the paperwork as it was described. And after discussions, I don't believe that there was a demonstration that really would cause a problem based on the fact that not every student is going to ask for that. Not every student in certain schools are going to have a problem. And the fact that there is a waiver allowance would permit a student that has justifiable reason for asking for a waiver to be considered and, as a rule, seemed to be available for a waiver. And the Department of Education spoke against this resolution simply because the established minimum requirements were established and that if they're going to start breaking the rules, we'll continue to do so. So I'm not very much in favor of this resolution, Mr. Speaker. There is no demonstrated number of students that are going to be affected. I mean, we're not going to have 16,000 students coming in asking for a waiver, which would probably cause a little paperwork problem. The fact is that it's a simple matter of filling out a form and submitting the form and letting someone decide whether or not it's okay or not. They've got a doggone good reason for asking for the waiver that they, you know, for example, I took it upon myself to phone some of the students that had sent us POMs on, yes, we should have this minimum requirement set aside for this year because I'm coming in to be a senior and so forth. First of all, they weren't really familiar, by and large, with the waiver program. Secondly, some of the students were, and they were concerned because they had planned their life around, for example, graduating early in January, let's say, so that they could go on and get into college early. Well, that's a very good reason that someone could say, yes, that's a good reason. You can have a waiver, and we can let you go. However, not all of them gave that good excuse. It was a matter of vacations and so forth and so on that caused some problems, and some of them might have thought that they should take a summer course rather than take their vacation so that they can get to college the following year. So I didn't think that those reasons were terribly justifiable in lieu of the fact that there is a waiver provision there. So I speak against the resolution.
Representative Larson.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm going to speak for this resolution. There are many high school students who 4 years ago or 3 years ago started out their course of study and now realize, of course, that new requirements have been placed. There is uncertainty, and all what this resolution is doing is calling to the attention of the state school board that there is this uncertainty and that they should take action, of course, to help the students then finish the rest of their high school career on the policy that they started. I, for one, of course, strongly support the new regulations, but I am speaking here in favor of the resolution that will delay their effect basically 1 year from now.
Representative Martin.
Mr. Chairman, the main problem I have with this is that we, the legislators, a couple of years ago made it very clear that we want minimum standards because this is what the parents demanded. They wanted to be sure that their children had some education, that Mary could read and Johnny knew a little bit about math. And so we made minimum standards in English and in math and so on, so that we will not be sued like other states are being sued because Johnny graduated without the ability to be able to read. Now we find ourselves, for whatever political reasons involved, in telling the school board, hey, yeah, don't do it yet, even though we demand it, and we've done it for a couple of years, that you bring minimum standards for legislators, for our students. Now we're reneging on what we demanded that they do. So I find myself really perplexed. I felt sorry for the individual who came and testified to the Department of, the committee of has to own this, because they really felt, the first time I saw that individual, extremely uncomfortable and saying what he felt like saying, what he wanted to say, and he virtually said nothing. They didn't just support it or go against it. But I felt that the department finds themselves, after doing a dedicated job on behalf of the legislators, now having to delay for a year, maybe 2 years, from what we empower them to do.
Are you ready for the question?
The
question is, shall Senate Concurrent Resolution number 47 pass the House? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their vote? Clerk may take the roll.
33 yeas, 5 nays.
Senate Concurrent Resolution 47 has passed the House. Will the clerk please read the next item on today's calendar?
Citation honoring Mrs. Elizabeth Baines by Representatives Fuller, Ward, Adams, and Grusendorf, and Senator Ferguson.
Senator Fuller.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move the citation and ask for unanimous consent.
Is there objection? Hearing none, the citation is approved. Clerk, please read the next citation.
Citation honoring Bernard L. Warren by Representatives Furness, Barnes, Ward, and Martin.
Representative Furness.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move the citation and ask unanimous consent.
Is there objection? Hearing none, the citation is approved. Clerk, please read the next citation.
Citation honoring Daisy Tunnell by Senator Sackett, Ray, and Curtula.
Representative Barnes.
Mr. Speaker, I move the citation and ask unanimous consent.
Objection. Hearing none, the citation is approved. Clerk, please read the next item appearing on today's calendar.
Citation honoring Hugh Malone by Representatives M.M. Miller, Hayes, Clarkson, Davis, Duncan, Gall, Kopanen, Sund, Szymanski, Vaska, Wente, Zharoff, and all other members of the House.
Representative Miller.
Speaker, I ask unanimous consent for the approval of the citation and suggest we vote by giving a standing bit of applause for the member.
Without objection, the citation is adopted. Representative Malone.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to thank my all members of the House very much and point out that those of us who have decided not to run for office have an advantage over at least some of those who have decided to run for re-election, and that is, of course, that we know that we're not coming back, and for some people out there in this room, it's going to be a surprise. But
brings us to the end of today's calendar. Representative Sun.
Yeah, Mr. Speaker, I'd like to serve notice of reconsideration of my vote on House Bill 375. And I'd also like to ask unanimous consent of the body to bring that reconsideration up at this time.
Representative Sun has given notice of reconsideration on Senate Bill 375. What's your point, Representative Martin?
Speaker, I think that another gentleman has already served notice of reconsideration on that.
No.
According to the clerk, no one has served reconsideration.
Sorry. Thank you.
Sorry. Representative Sun, you want to move that the reconsideration be brought up at this time?
Mr. Speaker, I'd move that my reconsideration on committee substitute for Senate Bill 375 be brought up at this time.
Is there objection? Hearing none, will the clerk please read the bill?
House Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 375, Second Resources, amended House by the Resources Committee, an act relating to land disposal and management and providing for an effective date.
Are you ready for the question? Question is, shall the House Resources Committee substitute for Committee substitute for Senate Bill 375? Let me restate that. Question is, shall the House Resources Second Committee substitute for Committee substitute for Senate Bill 375, amended House, pass the House on reconsideration? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their vote? Clerk may take the roll.
37 yeas, 2 nays.
The House Resources Second Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 375, amended House, has passed the House on reconsideration. Representative Barnes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Move and ask unanimous consent. The roll call vote on passing House Committee Substitute, Committee Substitute, Senate Bill 375, amended House, be considered the roll call vote on the several effective date clauses.
Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered. This brings us to unfinished business. Representative Barnes. House, please stand at ease. Mike Stinger.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to give notice of reconsideration of my vote on Committee Substitute Senate Bill 461, Resources, and I'd like to move and ask unanimous consent that that notice of reconsideration be brought up at this time.
It was previously reconsidered by Representative Szymanski. Will the House please stand at ease? She's going to withdraw. Representative Pestinger, would...
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to withdraw my motion and wait till it be brought up at a later time.
Without objection, so ordered. Representative Miller.
Based on a motion to recess, there will be a House Democratic Minority Caucus at 5:45.
Representative Adams.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. There will be a House Finance meeting at 8:30 p.m. tonight. The following bills will be on the schedule, plus the Senate Bill 409.
What bills?
the following bills that's presently on your calendar, sir.
Oh, the ones that's on the back of the today's calendar. Before I ask the majority leader for a motion to recess to the call of the chair, I'd like to announce that there will be food available between 6 and 7, from 6 to 7 in the lounge. Representative Barnes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Move and ask unanimous consent the House stand in recess to the call of the chair.
Is there objection? Hearing none, the House stands in recess to the call of the chair. Minority is still caucusing. There will be a majority caucus in the Speaker's chambers.
We'll establish a quorum first, and then we'll read the, you want to, we'll go back up and take Governor, Senate, and citations.
In order to establish a quorum, will members please indicate their presence by voting? Has any member failed to indicate their presence by voting? Clerk may take the roll.
36 members present.
We've received some messages from the governor and from the Senate and a few citations. Without objection, Representative Barnes, would you move that we move back up the daily order of business to messages from the governor?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Move and ask unanimous consent. We move back up the daily order of business to messages from the governor.
Is there objection? Hearing none, will the clerk please read any messages from the governor?
Dear Representative Hayes, I have read the following resolutions and signed the following bills. Senate Concurrent Resolution Number 7, encouraging the extension of a four-lane highway from the south end of Acutna Flats to the Palmer-Wasilla Y, Legislative Resolve Number 62. Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 15, Second Finance, making a special appropriation for payment as a grant to the City of Fort Yukon for upgrading the community center, effective date Chapter 64. Conference Committee Substitute for Senate Bill Number 438, relating to the State Board of Registration for Architects, Engineers, and Land Surveyors, effective date, Chapter 63. Senate Bill 551, authorizing the expenditure of more than $1 million from the Disaster Relief Fund for Water and Sewer System Failures, effective date, Chapter 69. Committee Substitute for Sponsor Substitute for House Bill 16, Finance, premium increases for automobile insurance policies, Chapter 62. Senate Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for House Bill 320, Finance, relating to royalty oil contracts and improving the sale of royalty oil by the State of Alaska to the Tesoro Alaska Petroleum Company, effective date, Chapter 68. Committee Substitute for Sponsor Substitute for House Bill 446, Judiciary, duty to stop at the direction of a peace officer, Chapter 66. House Bill 693, Principal and Income of Trusts, effective date, Chapter 65, SLA 1984. Signed sincerely, Bill Sheffield, Governor. I have no further messages from the governor, Mr. Speaker. I do have messages from the Senate.
Without objection, please read messages from the Senate.
The Senate has passed House Bill Number 452 with the following amendment. Senate Committee Substitute for House Bill 452, Transportation, special appropriation to the Department of Transportation and Public Facilities for Phase 1 of the Nome Port Facility, effective date, and is returned for consideration. The Senate has passed House Bill 299 with the following amendments. Senate Committee Substitute for House Bill 299, Judiciary, amended Senate, defining sexual contact and sexual penetration with an effective date with a Senate letter of intent. The Senate concurred in the House amendment to Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 525, Finance, thus adopting House Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 525, Finance. The Senate passed and returned Sponsor Substitute for House Bill 495, Prisoner of War Special Registration Plates, and House Bill Number 720, amended, Minimum Electrical Standards. These bills have gone to enrolling. The Senate passed the following resolution and is transmitted for consideration. Senate Concurrent Resolution Number 50 by the Judiciary Committee, suspending Uniform Rules 24 and 35 of the Alaska State Legislature concerning House Bill Number 299.
Senate Concurrent Resolution number 50 is referred to the Rules Committee.
The Senate approved the following citations, and they are transmitted for consideration. In memoriam, Lazar Larry Dworkin. In memoriam, Lanson Bettis Harvey. That one has already passed the House. The Committee on Finance has had House... Oh, excuse me, Mr. Speaker. I have no further messages from the Senate, but I do have committee reports.
Representative Barnes, would you move and ask unanimous consent that we move down the daily order of business to reports of standing committees?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Move and ask unanimous consent. We move down the daily order of business to reports from standing committees.
Without objection, will the clerk please read any reports of standing committees?
The Committee on Finance has had House Bill 608 relating to the operation of the legislature and providing for an effective date under consideration. Recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for House Bill 608 Finance with a new title and recommends it do pass. Attaches a letter of intent and a zero physical note. The report was signed by Mr. Adams, Chairman, concurred in by Adams, Bettisworth, Martin, Furness, Grusendorf, Duncan, Jaroff, Hurlburt, Fritz, and Ward. Having no recommendation, Lindauer. House Bill 608 appears on today's calendar. The Committee on Finance has had committee substitute for Senate Bill 336 Resources relating to federal crop insurance under consideration and reports it back as follows and attaches a zero physical note. The report was signed by Mr. Adams, Chairman, signing due pass, Adams, Bettisworth, Grusendorf, Hurlburt, and Ward. Having no recommendation, Martin, Furness, Lindauer, Duncan, Jaroff, and Fritz. Committee substitute for Senate Bill 336 appears on today's calendar. The Committee on Finance has had committee substitute for Senate Bill 411 Resources, Preferential Use of Alaska Agricultural Products under consideration, recommends it be replaced with House Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 411 Finance with a new title. Reports it back as follows and attaches a zero physical note. The report was signed by Mr. Adams, Chairman, signing due pass, Adams, Bettisworth, and Ward. Having no recommendation, Martin, Hurlburt, Furness, Lindauer, Grusendorf, Duncan, Jaroff, and Fritz. Committee substitute for Senate Bill 411 appears on today's supplemental calendar. The Committee on Finance has had committee substitute for Senate Bill 409 Rules amended, making miscellaneous appropriations and transfers among appropriations and amending the lapse dates or purposes of certain appropriations under consideration and recommends it be replaced with House Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 409 Finance with the same title. That bill is being printed now, but if it doesn't appear by the time the supplemental calendar comes out, you'll have certified amendments in your supplemental calendar. And it's reported back as follows. The report was signed by Mr. Adams, Chairman, signing due pass, Adams, Bettisworth, Grusendorf, Fritz, and Hurlburt. Having no recommendation, Hurlburt, Jaroff, Ward, Duncan, and Martin. Signing do not pass, Lindauer. Senate Bill 409 appears on today's calendar, supplemental calendar. I have no further standing committee reports, Mr. Speaker.
Do you have citations?
Yes, I do have citations.
We have a number of citations on the clerk's desk. Representative Barnes, if you would move down to the daily order of business to introduction of citations, I'm going to ask the clerk to read the citations, and then if you make a motion, we'll adopt them all.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Move and ask unanimous consent. We move down the daily order of business to introduction of citations and resolutions.
Clerk, please read any citations or resolutions.
Some of them may already have been read. Honoring Helenka Bryce by Representatives Davis, Kopanen, Zemanski, and Senator Fahrenkamp. Citation honoring Korean Trade Delegation by Senators Vic Fisher and Ziegler, Sturtulewski, Paul Fisher, Kurtula, Representatives Martin Hayes and Tischer. Honoring Taiwan Trade Delegation by Senators Vic Fisher, Ziegler, Kurtula, Paul Fisher, Sturtulewski, Representatives Martin Hayes and Tischer. Citation honoring the Frontiersman by Senator Kurtula. Citation honoring Francis Brimmer by Senators Gilman, Paul Fisher, Sturgeluski, Representatives Malone and Fritz. Citation in memoriam Larry Lazar Dworkin by Senators Fahrenkamp, Bennett, Moss, Kurtula, Rody, Ray, Sackett, and Vic Fisher and Moss. Representatives Kopanen, Davis, Sund, Wendy, Ringstead, Bettisworth. That's it. I have no further citations for introduction.
Representative Barnes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Move and ask unanimous consent for approval of the citations appearing on today's calendar.
Representative Barnes are not on today's calendar.
Excuse me,
just read.
Mr. Speaker.
Move and ask unanimous consent for approval of the citations as just read by the chief clerk.
Objection. Hearing none, the citations are approved. Representative Barnes, would you move for the adoption of the supplemental calendar?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Move and ask unanimous consent for the adoption of the supplemental calendar.
Object.
Object.
There is objection. Representative Malone.
Thank you, Speaker. One of the items on the supplemental calendar, at least one, Senate Bill 409, is a bill that was received by the House this day. As far as I know, under the provision of state constitution, there has to be at least one day elapsed between first and second reading piece of legislation. And so I'd raise a point of order on the motion.
Right. It's my intention, Representative Malone, to adjourn just before midnight and holding the supplemental calendar over for the next legislative day and then reconvene shortly after midnight, thus bringing us into conformance with the Constitution. Is there further objection to the adoption of supplemental calendar? Hearing none. Representative Malone.
Speaker, I don't quite understand your ruling, although I understand that you don't intend to vote on this that item today, but I maintain my objection to the motion.
All right. Representative Davis?
Yes, Mr. Speaker. Could we have a brief at ease, please?
House, please stand at ease. Rapidly approaching the end of the day, since there is some concern by at least a few members about the adoption of the supplemental calendar, I think the most appropriate thing to do, Representative Barnes, would be to withdraw your motion to adopt the supplemental calendar and then move that we adjourn until 12:01 a.m. tomorrow. And in the meantime, I can ask the clerk to pass out the House calendar for tomorrow. Representative Barnes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Move and ask unanimous consent I'd be allowed to withdraw my motion to adopt the supplemental calendar.
Without objection, so ordered. Representative Barnes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent the House stand in adjournment until 12:01 a.m. Thursday, May 31st, 1984.
Is there objection? Hearing none, the House stands adjourned until 12:01 a.m. tomorrow. Will members please indicate their presence by voting? Has any member failed to indicate their presence by voting? Clerk, please take the roll.
37 members present.
Representative Barnes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. No members are excused from the call of the House today.
Will the members please rise for the invocation by Representative M.M. Miller.
Lord, in your 133rd Psalm, you say to your son David, "Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren together to dwell together in unity." Lord, on this floor, we are not always in total unity, but we are in unity and love for this great land. We are in unity, Lord, in thanking you for the bounty that you have placed here. And we are in unity, Lord, in asking for your guidance. Amen.
Representative Cato.
Mr. Speaker, I would like to ask you, or move and ask unanimous consent that the prayer be spread on the journal and the chaplain's fee be waived.
Is there objection?
Mr. Speaker, I object for the purpose that the chaplain fee be given to the glory hole, please.
Without objection, prayer will be spread on the journal and the chaplain's fee will be given to the glory hole. Will the clerk please certify the journal for the 143rd legislative day?
As chief clerk, I certify as to the correctness of the journal for the 143rd day.
Representative Barnes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent that the journal for the 143rd legislative day be approved as certified by the Chief Clerk.
Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered. Are the guests for introduction? Messages from the Governor?
No, Mr. Speaker. I have none.
Messages from the Senate?
No, Mr. Speaker.
Other communications?
I have none, Mr. Speaker.
Reports of standing committees?
There are no reports of standing committees, Mr. Speaker.
Reports of special committees?
I have none, Mr. Speaker.
Introduction of citations and resolutions?
No, Mr. Speaker.
Introduction, first reading, and reference of bills?
There are no bills, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Adams?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to take a couple motions under unfinished business, and at this time I'm going to move and ask unanimous consent that we go down to unfinished business for the purpose of two motions.
Is there objection? Hearing none, Representative Adams.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that the referral of Senate Bill 347, an act amending the longevity bonus program and providing for an effective date to the House Finance, be waived.
Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered. Representative Adams.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that the referral of SCR 45, suspending Rule 41B of the Alaska State Legislature concerning Senate Bill Number 347 to the House Finance Committee be waived.
Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered. This brings us to consideration of the daily calendar. Representative Miller.
Speaker, if I could make parliamentary inquiry, it isn't all that exciting, but did we approve the journal for the 143rd day, did I hear?
Yes.
Yes. How did we do that? Was the clerk prepared that fast?
It's almost done. It's all.
Hey, I knew we had a terrific staff, Mr. Speaker, but I didn't know they were that good. Clerk, please read the first item on today's calendar.
House Bill 608 by Hayes, an act relating to operation of the legislature and providing for an effective date. The Committee on State Affairs has had House Bill 608 under consideration and recommends it do pass and attaches a physical note. The report was signed by Mr. Abood, Chairman, concurred in by Abood, Schultz, Larson, Cowdery, and Ward, signing no recommendation, Locker, and M.M. Miller. The Committee on Finance has had House Bill 608 under consideration and recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for House Bill 608 Finance with a new title, recommends it do pass, attaches a letter of intent, and a zero physical note. The report was signed by Mr. Adams, Chairman, concurred in by Adams, Bettesworth, Martin, Furness, Grusendorf, Duncan, Jarl, Probert, Fritz, and Ward. Lindauer signed no recommendation. I have one committee substitute on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Barnes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent that the Finance Committee substitute for House Bill 608 be adopted in lieu of the original bill.
Is there objection?
Yeah.
There is objection. Representative Phillips.
Mr. Speaker, I'm at this point going to bring up the germaneness question. If you want me to cite the rules, I will.
Go ahead.
Speaker, in Mason's Section 402, page 281 cites it. In our own uniform rules, Rule 35. Now, we could go ahead and vote on it if you want, but I do not believe that this bill that we're replacing the original bill with the Finance Committee substitute is germane to the original subject.
Are you ready for the question? Question is the Finance Committee substitute for House Bill 608 germane? That's your members, Representative Phillips.
Mr. Speaker, that is the motion itself.
Members may proceed to vote. Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their vote? Clerk may take the roll.
30 yeas, 10 nays.
The bill before us is germane. Is the objection maintained to the adoption of the Finance Committee substitute in lieu of the original bill? Hearing no objection, the Finance Committee substitute is adopted in lieu of the original bill. Does the clerk have amendments?
No, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Barnes?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Move and ask unanimous consent the committee substitute for House Bill 608, Finance, be considered engrossed as a third reading, placed on final passage.
Is there objection? Hearing none so ordered, will the clerk please read the bill for the third time?
Committee substitute for House Bill 608, Finance, by the Finance Committee. An act relating to royalty oil contracts and approving the sale of Prudhoe Bay royalty oil by the State of Alaska to the Tesoro Alaska Petroleum Company and providing for an effective date.
Is there a debate? Are you ready for the question? Question is, shall the Finance Committee substitute for House Bill 608 pass the House? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their vote? Clerk may take the roll.
37 yeas, 3 nays.
Finance Committee substitute for House Bill 608 has passed the House. Representative Barnes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Move and ask unanimous the roll call vote on passage committee substitute for House Bill 608, Finance, because of the roll call vote on the effective date clause.
Is there objection? Hearing none so ordered, will the clerk please read the next item
Mr.
on today's
Speaker,
calendar?
There's a letter of finance. Sorry. Letter of intent.
Can we be briefly? House Bill Senators.
Order.
Mr. Speaker, we stand at ease.
House, please stand at ease. Will the House please come back to order?
She had moved the letter of intent, right? You need to move it. No, you just said there was one.
Representative Barnes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Move and ask unanimous consent that the finance letter of intent be adopted.
Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered. Clerk, please read the next item on today's calendar.
House Bill 679 by the Rules Committee by request of the Governor. An act relating to the Municipal Bond Bank Authority and providing for an effective date. The Committee on Community and Regional Affairs has had House Bill 679 under consideration and recommends it do pass. The report was signed by M.W. Miller, Chairman, concurred in by Cato, Phillips, Locker, McBride, and McBride also signed Goodbill, and M.W. Miller. The Committee on Finance has had House Bill 679 under consideration and recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Adams, Chairman, concurred in by Adams, Bedesworth, Lindauer, Grusendorf, Duncan, Jaroff, Hurlburt, and Fritz, having no recommendation, Martin, and Furness. I have no amendments on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Barnes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Move and ask unanimous consent that House Bill 679 be considered engrossed, passed a third reading, placed on final passage.
Is there objection? Hearing none so ordered, will the clerk please read the bill for the third time?
House Bill 679 by the Rules Committee by request of the Governor. An act relating to the Municipal Bond Bank Authority and providing for an effective date.
Are you ready for the question? Question is, shall House Bill 679 pass the House? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk, may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their vote? Clerk, may take the roll.
39 yeas, no nays.
House Bill 679 has passed the House. Representative Barnes?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Move and ask unanimous consent of the roll call vote on passing House Bill 679 be considered the roll call vote on the effective date clause.
Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered. Will the clerk please read the next item on today's calendar?
Senate Concurrent Resolution Number 45 by the Judiciary Committee, suspending Uniform Rule 41B of the Alaska State Legislature concerning Senate Bill Number 347. I have no amendments on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Are you ready for the question? Question is, shall Senate concurrent resolution number 45 pass the House. Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their vote? Representative Miller from yes to no. Clerk may take the roll.
Thank you. 28 yeas, 12 nays.
Senate concurrent resolution number 45 has passed the House. Clerk, please read the next item on today's calendar.
Committee substitute for Senate Bill 347, financed by the Finance Committee. An act authorizing the use of Alaska permanent fund income to pay longevity bonuses, amending the longevity bonus program and the permanent fund dividend distribution program and providing for an effective date. The Committee on State Affairs has had the bill under consideration and recommends it be replaced with House Committee substitute for Committee substitute for Senate Bill 347, State Affairs, with a new title, and reports it back as follows and attaches a new fiscal note. The report was signed by Mr. Abood, Chairman, signing do pass, Larson, and M.M. Miller. Signing do not pass, Abood. Signing Schultz signed please amend, Locker signed do pass if amended, and Cowdery signed no recommendation. I have one committee substitute on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Barnes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Move and ask unanimous consent the Finance Committee substitute for Committee substitute for Senate Bill 347 be adopted in lieu of the original bill.
House, please stand at ease.